today is Preview to Integration of Inner and Outer, Our Relationship to All of Life, and it will be run by Robert Gonzalez. The focus of Robert's work over these past many years has been to use the principles of nonviolent communication and other modalities towards deepening our spiritual consciousness. Today, Robert will focus on two things primarily. One of them is talking about his awareness tracking exercise, which he specifically designed to help you shift your feelings from suffering into well-being. And then second, he'll focus on his telecourse, Integration of Inner and Outer, Our Relationship to All of Life. So what I'm expecting you'll walk away with as a result of today's call is you'll learn a practical tool you can use for aligning your words, actions, and choices with your authentic self. And I don't know about you, but for me, I might have an idea. I might know what I want, but sometimes getting there can be a little challenging with how I'm languaging it. So that's one thing you'll get from today's call. You'll also, I'm certain, get an increased sense of inner calm and harmony, as I always do when I work with Robert. And then clarity about how his course might support your life. So those are the three things I'm hoping you'll walk away with today. So without further ado, I would love to turn it over to Robert. And welcome, Robert. I'm so glad you're here today.
Hi, Mary. Thanks very much. I'll just go ahead and get started. For this first part of the call, I'd like to introduce a bit of the work and how I work with people. I have someone who's worked with me in the past. His name is Howard. He'll be volunteering for me to demonstrate a process. It's an awareness and tracking exercise. It's designed to support people in identifying, tracking meaning keeping track of, where one is in any particular state of being so that it's more accessible to transform. So I just needed to say a few words about it so that in the demonstration people will be able to follow it, perhaps more likely to be able to follow it. At least that's my intention. In my work over the years, I found that there are three primary, what I call, dimensions or zones of states of being. And in any given experience, perhaps a person working with this process, either with the guidance of another person or on their own, can move through identifying these states of being. There's three primary ones, and I'll name what they are. When we are in a stimulated reactive state, one that I call disconnected or suffering, we're generally primary in what I call a protection and defensive mode, where our survival strategies are activated, and there are certain characteristics associated with this. This process is about helping to identify what are the characteristics or qualities or symptoms when we are in protection and defense. They come in the different categories. They exist in the categories of our thinking, our evaluating, our feeling emotionally, and the energetic or the body sensation. And then right underneath that is the zone of vulnerability. And it is generally an undefended zone, and there are particular qualities and energies in that experience. And at the core is what I call our essence. It is the source of our deep authenticity, the source of the fullness of our being, so that when we are in and operating and living from this place, there are characteristics and qualities. So the ability to identify and track each of these dimensions of being I find to be very, very critical and supportive in a person's well-being. There's a lot more to say about it, but I just wanted to be as brief as possible so you have a sense of how I will be guiding Howard. And so, Howard, I'd like to bring you into the call right now. For the listeners, I'm going to be supporting you and guiding you in this process. We had a brief conversation a few minutes ago, and so there is a life situation that you're experiencing right now that you can describe as what is the stimulating part of it? What is the stimulus in what you're experiencing? And then we'll move on from there. So could you share that with me?
Yep. My wife and I are in a experimental period where we're really living more separately than we've been living. What that means for me is that I have a whole lot of time where I'm alone, and I've come into this state where I feel scared and like I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do, and I get intensely lonely.
I'm just sensing those and just taking that in. This is a new living situation for you. You said an experimental situation with your wife. you're maintaining your relationship but changing the way it looks. And a lot of the stimulus for what you're experiencing is you're spending a lot of time physically alone where you're not with her. And this is stimulated, what I heard you say, that a lot of times you find yourself feeling scared. That's the emotional quality of it. Then cognitively, I'm hearing you said that you can't figure out what to do. So perhaps there's that state of thinking, maybe this sense of cognitively can't figure out, perhaps lost, lack of clarity of your thinking, perhaps. And then it's very intense, which I heard as on all the different levels, perhaps, and that there's a sensation, an energetic experience that's very intense for you. Is that accurate?
Yes, it's intense to the point that it'll wake me up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So as we're speaking about it now, one of the important things in doing this work is that we stay connected to the present moment experiencing. So you're certainly describing something that has occurred in the past, but as you recall that, what are you experiencing in the present moment in relationship to that stimulus?
I can feel it right in my chest as a heaviness. I can feel kind of a way in which I'm being pulled, like towards doing something, but I don't know what to do. There's a tension in my body.
Yeah, okay. So this is important right now. As I'm going to be speaking, guiding you primarily, Howard, but occasionally I'll be making a comment for the listeners so that both you and they can track. So what I'm hearing is what I see as the protective and defensive aspect. And the characteristics of that are this heaviness, this tension, what I call contraction. And I'm hearing that you're experiencing that in your chest. And I've also heard you say you're feeling pulled towards doing something. And I'm sensing that, is that a kind of a desire, an emotional feeling, or a wanting to do something? And I heard you say, and I don't know what to do. So
right.
Is that accurate?
That's accurate. Yeah, when I say I don't know what to do, sometimes I find myself like standing in front of the refrigerator wondering what there is to eat.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the ways I can deaden that pain.
Yeah. So a sense of sometimes you eat food as a way of deadening the pain.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. We're just exploring this right now. So this is, I'm hearing you describe, this is something you're feeling right now, these experiences in relationship to that stimulus of being alone. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
So just sort of be with right now. Take a breath and allow the totality of everything you're feeling now, if it's still there, the heaviness, the tension, the sense of being pulled towards the I don't know what to do, or whatever else is present. Allow yourself to breathe and simply allow, give the inner space for all of that to simply be in your experience.
What comes up for me is this place of fear, like that I'm losing something or that I'm not, not doing the right thing.
Okay. So as I'm hearing that, you're feeling fearful, and the fear I'm hearing has a thought associated with it, the sense that you're losing something or the thought that you're not doing the right thing. So as I'm reflecting that back to you, you're going to have a sense, I'm going to speak to that part that's feeling fearful in the sense that you're losing something. And as I'm doing this with you, Howard, this is something that actually a part of you can also do with yourself. So you're fearful, you feel the fear in the body, a sense that something is being lost. Let yourself feel that feeling, sensing that something is being lost. Just allow it.
Well, I have tears running down my cheeks.
Yes.
I have tears, you know, that I can feel the fear there. I can,
So you're feeling the fear and the tears. So I'm wondering if what you're feeling now feels a little, you're feeling a little softer. Is there a sense of vulnerability as you feel the tears?
Yeah, because I'm not trying to fix anything. I'm just being.
Yeah. Okay. A sense of letting go of fixing something or making it better and just letting it be. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So now notice the quality of your energy or the feeling sense in your body and in your emotions as you are feeling more vulnerable. Simply bring a gentle attention to it.
breathing is softer.
Breathing is softer. It's just so now you're attending to, I'm asking you just attend to, simply be with, in a very gentle way, in an allowing way. And I'm going to ask you certain questions about the quality of what you're feeling. Just allowing the vulnerability. Is there any sense of tenderness or fragility in your experience?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a sense of something sort of raw in that energy in the body? Kind of undefended and raw.
Yeah. I feel this the unfamiliarity of this space of separation, of aloneness.
Unfamiliarity, do you mean that the sense of aloneness and separation is unfamiliar to you? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think it's like I'm supposed to be with her and I'm not. It's something like that.
Yeah. So you have a sense, I'm hearing a kind of a sense of perhaps a thought or a story, sense that I'm supposed to be maybe with someone and not alone. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So just notice, again, I'm just reflecting back that this is the thought or story part in your experience. And then there's the feeling energy of tenderness or raw or vulnerability.
Softness.
Yeah, a softness. And I'm wondering, does it feel like there's a pain or a wounded feeling in your experience?
Well, one thing I've come aware of is that it's very connected to how it felt when I was a child, a lot. It's like I wanted to be held.
Yeah. So there's a quality that you associate with your child experience, as though there is a hurt child you're carrying in your experience. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah. I like how you said it a lot.
You used to have it. And you remember that you used to have it, and what I'm hearing is that you're feeling it right now also.
Yes, there's a lost child in my experience.
A lost child, okay. So feel the sense of the lost child right now. Just let yourself actually just be with the energy without pushing it away or wanting to fix it. You're just letting it be in you. Feel the pure physicality of it. Share with me your experience of that.
It's a wanting to be held. It's a wanting to
okay.
be loved.
Yeah, so I'm sensing what I'm hearing. In that wanting to be held, is there a sense of your heart so longing for being held, so longing for an encompassing warmth and tenderness?
Yes.
Just again, just ask you just to allow yourself to breathe and feel the longing for the quality of warmth and love. Just allow that into your feeling, into your sensing, into your heart. And share with me your experience.
Well, now I really got tears. And yeah, I just feel that place, the longing to that. But I'm not pushing away the experience, and I'm not seeing that there's anything wrong with that experience.
Is that not pushing it away, not judging there's anything wrong? Could that be described as you're just allowing it, you're just letting it be, and just feeling the beautiful longing for love?
Yeah, I just want to be held. I want to be loved.
Yeah. Can you feel that? I'm wondering if it's possible to feel it as just you're feeling the fullness of love itself, of being in the energy or embrace of love.
Yes.
As something that is there in your heart already, a quality that you can touch and feel. Would you please share with me just the feeling, sensing, energetic in the body, in your emotions?
Well, the emotions have moved from sad into much more alive and joyful.
Yeah, okay.
The tension in my chest is much looser, even gone.
More relaxed, even sense of it's not there. And a sense of the sadness has moved into joyfulness.
I feel the love. You know, I'm feeling that
yeah.
the love, it's moving as opposed to static.
And these are sense of, just to name it right now, I'm hearing you describe your experience, but we're not naming it. The way I understand is you moved from the state of vulnerability, with all the rawness, the tenderness, and the hurt sense of the hurt child in your experience, a lost child. And then from there, the link is the deep longing and wanting that took you, that moved you into your essence, which is the beauty and the fullness, the joy, the aliveness. And this is a place you can rest and cultivate and be in.
It doesn't have anything to do anymore with Vicky.
It doesn't have anything to do with Vicky. Does that mean that you have shifted from a sense of external sort of focus, as though being away from Vicky is the cause of your experience, into perhaps an internal restoring of your own wholeness? Those are my words, but I'm wondering if they fit for you.
They fit, yes. Yeah, I feel like I'm sitting here, I'm crying, and I'm happy, and I'm feeling both held and loved, and it's not about getting anything from anybody else.
Yeah. A sense of your own source of your wholeness, your own strength. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's like this love is coming up in me. It's already in me.
Yeah.
I'm accessing something. It doesn't have to do with my parents and my childhood.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do with Vicky. It's just here.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Howard. I think I want to say a couple more things before we bring it to a completion. Just there's two more things that I would suggest for you in this. Is number one is to the pathway that I guided you through is something that you can revisit, particularly if there's a re-stimulation of the distressing experience. And the practice of having arrived at where you are right now is to simply be with, cultivate this feeling and allow it to permeate your body in its fullness and in its beauty. And I'm sensing that you're still there to some extent. Is that accurate?
I'm still in that soft, loving space.
Yeah. So maintain that. And I'm going to sort of, this is not, you know, in the process I describe it, I found to be very valuable. So maintain that awareness. And I would like you to imaginatively bring into your awareness the original stimulus of being physically alone. And then just notice what your experience is as you do that.
The lonely part of being alone is gone.
The lonely part is gone.
There's nothing wrong with this particular moment.
Okay. Nothing lacking. There's a full acceptance of it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I imagine, you know, I'll go back and forth, but right now it feels really delicious.
Okay. Beautiful. Okay. Well, I think I'd like to bring this to a completion for right now, Howard. And I really thank you very much for being willing to be here and do this process with me for people who are listening. I think there's going to be a short period of question and answer. Are you willing to respond to questions for your experience from anybody who might ask you?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Great, thank you. Okay, so that completes the process. And I think, Mary, that there are a period of time here where we open it up for anybody who would like to share their experience of witnessing the process or to ask a question.
Yes, absolutely.
Great.
If anybody has a question that you have of Robert about the process or his work with Howard, we'll call on you one at a time.
I wanted to ask about the specific moment in the process where you named a story or thinking which is part of experience or part of you. You called it like that. And it happens sometimes that people take it quite willingly, are able to recognize that this is just part of our story or interpretation. But sometimes it's very difficult for us to hear that thing what has been so occupying for us is just a story. So I would like to hear, how would you handle it if it was difficult to hear for the other person?
Yeah, and of course, I appreciate the question. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to answer it fully. Every individual will come up with that themselves. I mean, their own version of their difficulty in acknowledging that this is a thought or story or evaluation, because a part of them is convinced that it's actually true, that their evaluation isn't accurate, is the truth itself or reality or what is. And so when there's a level of intensity with that, then there are a couple of approaches. I usually take a couple of approaches. One is there's usually a level of intensity because a person is in deep pain and they're needing some of deeper empathy for the pain that they're in that leads them to be convinced that their evaluation or their story is true. So with a lot of empathy, it tends to loosen and it actually begins to bring clarity so they can actually begin to distinguish between what is observed and what is thought about what is observed. So when it's mixed in with the intensity of pain, it tends to cloud the thinking more. When there's deeper empathy, it releases and enables more clarity to distinguish observation from thinking. So that's one avenue that I usually take with the person, just take a little bit more time with them. Another one is to simply be able to more clearly identify what is observed, what is the actual observation, and then to keep with them to track that their thought is actually a thought about what they're observing. So this is a process that takes time, and it varies by individual to individual, and so it's hard for me to characterize exactly what I would do with each person. I'm hoping that's helpful. Is it?
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you.
Yes, okay.
First of all, Robert, thank you. I enjoyed that whole process. And I guess the whole point of this is that when people are in the state of their stimulus, they do not have the clarity. They're still in their lizard brain as opposed to the prefrontal cortex, having to be able to really think about what, as Howard said, I don't know what to do. His concern and fear had to do with where he was now paralyzed as to what he should either do about his fear and loneliness, the fixing it part, or what he should do about, do I go to a lawyer and find out what I'm entitled to or what I'm obligated for, what he should actually physically do about his situation. So this is more of just getting yourself in the right frame of mind to be able to do with clarity and intelligence what your next steps should be, and that we can't really do that until we get more settled?
Well, actually, what I would say is that I view this process a little different than what you just described it. It's not so much to try to shift it so that moving from unclarity so that one can have clarity in what to do. It's really the recognition that when we are in a state of reactivity, protecting and defending, that there are certain characteristics of that, certain qualities. To recognize that thinking and speaking, perhaps, is one, the nature of that characteristic of that state of being has certain qualities. So to recognize that, it helps one to fully own it. That creates the space to allow the transformation of it. The intention is not to transform it, but to create the space, listening, empathizing, so that it allows it to naturally transform into one of clarity. So that's sort of a partial answer to your question. How is that to hear?
It's still okay. A little fuzzy then. I'm not sure. So in other words, you're recognizing when we are in one of these states,
yes,
or our,
yes,
vulnerability, so that we are able to fully own what we're doing, allowing it gently so that we will be able to calm ourselves down, which would create that space, because that softness, you were going for getting Howard to feel softer, to be able to just allow it.
Well, actually, I'm glad you're asking these questions. There's a lot of nuance to your questions and the answers I give. I wasn't trying to get Howard to do anything. What I was helping to do was to create a space in which there's a natural emergence in Howard, not from me getting him to do something, but by creating the space by bringing awareness to his thoughts, bringing awareness to his emotions, to the body sensations, to the quality of experience, bringing a kind of gentle awareness to that creates an inner space. When there's the empathic awareness to those states of being, there's a natural emergence into softness, which is different than my intention to get him to be in that softness. So it's about creating the empathic space that allows the natural emergence into states of vulnerability. And from the vulnerability to then create the space, the allowing, the expression, the feeling, to move from vulnerability into the longing. And then from the longing emerges the wholeness. So that would be sort of the quick answer to your question. Of course, each of these answers requires a bit more in-depth exploration, but that's what I can say for right now.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Robert. You still have three hands up, so how about we call on those three folks and then we'll move into the closing.
Hi, Robert.
Hi.
The word awareness is just one of my favorite words, and I love that you're using that. I think I may have missed something. I know that you were giving him the time to fully sense it and just giving him the space, so whatever emerged, whatever was there would emerge, and he would notice that. And then he mentioned, or you mentioned, belonging and wanting. And I'm wondering if you actually said anything to prompt that. I may have missed it.
No, I didn't say anything to prompt it. However, I did in the asking him in his experience that moved from the tightness and the tension into the softness and vulnerability. That space very often allows a natural emergence for what he experienced as that hurt child. That happens a lot of the times. And in that hurt child, there is the pain, but also embedded in that is the longing. If he hadn't said it himself, I would have asked him, in that hurt part of you that you carry from your past that's present now, is there a longing? Does that hurt child have a deep longing or wanting of something right now? So he actually happened to say it before I asked him.
I thought that was how it was, and I thought, oh my goodness, I must have lost consciousness for a second and missed it. So, and that was so beautiful to hear it like that.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay.
Thank you.
I was wondering if, would you be open to telling us the principles and steps of what you did?
Well, it's hard to do that in a really short period of time. I mean, I love answering these kinds of questions. The principles are these three zones, what I would call protective, defensive, the reactive part where we're judging ourselves and others. Underneath that is our state of vulnerability, and at the core is our essence, our wholeness. When you create the spacious awareness of compassion and empathy and invite the experience and the expression of that, there's a natural emergence and deepening from protection to vulnerability to essence. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of questions, empathic questions that we ask that allows that transformation to take place.
Is it about asking about the next step underneath it?
Not necessarily. It's about opening and creating the space for the person to experience and express what is their present state. And that creates a natural emergence into the next stage, into the natural deepening. The principle is that when you create an unconditional acceptance of what is, it allows the deepening to occur in the person. And these other stages are sort of the natural emergence of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hi. I'm not sure exactly how to ask this question, but basically it's what to do if you can't make the shift between the vulnerability and the essence. The reason I ask that is specifically, for example, this morning I woke up with a very overwhelming sense of emptiness and need and vulnerability, and it was so overwhelming that it caused me to come and look for this course because this is the only thing I've heard of that is deep enough to try to deal with that kind of level of need. But when you just think, you know, I'm feeling like I'm going to die, like overwhelming need, and then what am I longing for? It sounded like for Howard it was a pretty natural shift, and all of a sudden he's feeling all this love, and I'm like, wow, that's great, you know, but I've never experienced that. So I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
Let me see if I can answer that in a concise way. Given certain experiences or states of experience, as you described, it can be difficult to move out of it. However, what I'm going to say might sound counterintuitive. This is the essence of the work of self-compassion. So once I develop the intention, the essence of self-compassion is not to try to move out of my experience, but to fully be with it and allow it. Sense of moving into practice over time, because it's not easy to do necessarily at first, the sense of being willing to actually fully be with my experience, to feel it in ways that I was not able to feel the energetic before, and to notice the part of me that wants to move out of it, the part of my mind that wants to fix it or to stop feeling the pain. There's an entire practice of deep self-compassion that takes time to cultivate into practice because there's a profound part of our being that wants to stop feeling pain and move out of it and be free from it. Self-compassion is about, as I approach it, is about completely turning that around and allowing myself to start to gently feel whatever it is that we're feeling in an open, allowing, accepting way. Now, those words are easy to say, I know, but the practice requires a lot of patience and a lot of time to integrate.
Thank you for your question. Appreciate your participation in today's call very much. And actually, I just want to say that I've appreciated everybody's participation, and I really love that you're grappling with this material that Robert provided today. Robert, how about if we spend just this last few minutes talking a little bit about your program?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that.
It's called Integration of Inner and Outer, Our Relationship to All of Life. It's a 5-session telecourse. Would you tell us a bit about the course, what will be covered, and maybe the format of it?
Yeah, again, I'm going to speak in broad generalities. The sort of, as the title alludes to, it's really an entire approach to living, our relationship to all of life, not just personal relationships, but our relationship to life, to the world, and to life in a larger sense. We'll have the opportunity to explore and deepen through healing and transforming what are the primary obstacles to living more fully. It's a transformative process that entails exercise and practices. And I will offer specific exercises that I see as inner maps. And one of them I just demonstrated. The essential movement is so much of us, we can look at life as that we've been conditioned primarily in the head-centered thinking and doing mode, so that we're looking for solutions to fix it, trying to make things better in our lives. There's a transformation of this orientation to one of a more inner being, an inner feeling centered, from which then we can act and do. So the practicality of our life moves forward, but it comes from a sense of being and not from a sense of doing. The sense of doing is really a separated state. We're divided within ourselves. We're disconnected from others and our actions. So when we start to live from a state of wholeness, our actions support the connections and help to unify instead of divide. This is the description of some of our principles. And I guess, I mean, I just was hesitating to say more, but the format of the class is it's a teleclass, as this format is right now. There'll be a number of people in the class. I'll start out usually with some introductory comments, a short guided meditation to help people connect to themselves, to their present experience, to the body. Perhaps I might share an inspirational reading or poem, and then I might work with someone, describe some principles, and then people will break into groups on the phone with another person and share and do a practice. It might be a small group of 2 or 3. People will then come out of those breakout sessions and share in the larger group and sharing their experience, asking for perhaps clarifying questions. And then whatever sharing and discussion will come from that in the group format. There will be, in between the classes, I will offer certain exercises and practices, and a handout, for example, of the exercise is something that I think could have answered Melissa's question. Part of this would be to offer handouts and some documents that help people understand the work and do the work with that kind of a support. So I'm hoping that description gives you an idea of sort of the general format of the class and the intentionality of it.
Thank you, Robert. Okay, Robert, I loved hearing about that. You know, there are going to be people on this call today who have already worked with you in a lot of ways through attending your retreats and also several of your NVC Academy calls and telecourses. So I'm wondering, can you talk specifically to those folks and maybe talk about how this particular course might be relevant to them?
Yeah, I like the question. And one of the things I've noticed in my working with people in my workshops, the teleclasses and so on, is it happens so often that somebody I've been working with and been sharing a principle or a practice after months or even years responds with, hey, I finally got it, you know, or I'm really getting this at a level that's deeper than I've got before. And this happens a lot. So while the focus of this work and the processes I share can appear to be on the surface to be very similar to even processes that you've engaged in before, the nature of the work, I think, as in general with all of nonviolent communication, is that it's an ever-deepening process. So even constructs, exercises, and processes that are familiar are actually invitations to approach in newer and deeper dimensions of what's possible. So there's always the opportunity to go deeper, because this is not a course that's based on information or knowledge per se, and then once you have it, you're complete. It's based on the deepening and opening of consciousness and experience that, in my view, has no end. That's how I view this, people who have experienced my work before.
Thank you. Boy, I just want to say that I agree with you on that and can relate to that very much, that ongoingness of it. That's actually what makes your work and the work of nonviolent communication so meaningful to me, ongoing depth growing of it. Mm. And so what about people who have not ever experienced your work? Can you speak for a moment about how this course might be for them?
Well, of course, it's hard to answer generally because each person is so individual. Some people are going to resonate with it really quickly. And sort of I've heard people's comments around these courses that I offer, a response to a deep longing and yearning that they've wanted for a long time. It also can be very challenging for people because I'm offering an orientation that is really different than the kind of learning or conditioning that we have all engaged in our life. But I think that it's also, even though it might be an answer to what people have wanted for a long time or new and challenging, it's an opportunity to enter into experience actually in a new way, in a fresh way, and perhaps to have experiences that are unexpected and are new and open new ways of discovering one's experience to one's inner life. Someone just shared recently, someone who's been around this and a lot of inner work for a long, long time, shared with me, and this person said something around, just had the experience for the first time of the actuality of my inner life. Whatever that is, that there is an inner life that's different from what I conceived of before. So I thought that was a very interesting response that I would not have expected from this person.
Thank you, Robert.